You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Bye Bye Christie. Ooh. Bridgegate just won't go away. For poor Chris Christie. Also on the program today, of course, yes, you knew it. What are we going to do? Ignore it? Donald Trump, offhandedly, depending on how you're situated, either calls for future Supreme Court justice to be shot or Hillary Clinton to be shot.
I don't know. I just hear what I hear on the internet.
Why do I have to choose?
What do I have to choose? Maybe I want them both shot. Maybe I just want date night with Ivanka. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
No, I won't.
We will. And the incredible turn, the fundamental change we've seen in the media over the past 2 weeks that I don't think is going to stick. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders' organization is ready to launch. And Joe Lieberman, remember him? Well, still F that guy. Still. Paul Ryan not going anywhere. Literally, I think, not going anywhere. And the DOJ says the Baltimore police routinely violated civil rights of folks in Baltimore. All that and more on today's program. You know, this has been such a dilemma because at the beginning of this electoral season, I really had made a, well, I don't know, vow to myself. But I really had made a point of reminding myself, like, don't get too caught up in the day-to-day election stuff. And then, of course, we had Trump in the primary. And I was like, well, I mean, this is super fun to get caught up in this. And I think we did a fairly good job of not getting too day-to-day with it. And I certainly thought this would be a good time to not get this engaged in it. But really, the past 2 weeks, and you're going to hear me say this again when we talk to Cliff, and you probably heard me say it last week. But what we're seeing is just so extraordinary. And there are so many different aspects to this that go beyond Donald Trump is, you fill in the blank. You all have adjectives that I think are probably accurate. But there's a lot of other angles to this that are important. And so we're going to talk about Donald Trump and his comments yesterday and how it's fundamentally changing this race and how it's opening up different potential scenarios going forward in terms of what Sanders and the progressive movement does during this time, what Clinton does during this time, what the media does during this time. Because on some level, the real story is becoming less about will Trump win, will Clinton win, and more about what's it going to look like after Trump gets slaughtered at the polls. And what's going to happen down ballot. And who is already preparing for Trump's loss? Because I think that's what we're seeing. There's a lot of that going on. And it doesn't get as much coverage because this is so spectacular in the literal sense of the word. I mean, this is the spectacle. But before we get to that, let me have my dessert first, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. Which is not to say that Donald Trump is terribly nourishing. But as you know, Chris Christie was involved in a scandal called Bridgegate. And what Bridgegate involved was the shutting down of an on-ramp to the George Washington Bridge, which caused huge, huge traffic jams in a town in New Jersey that could have really threatened the lives of people living in that town. I mean, to the point where the whole thing was gridlocked and shut down. And the reason why he did it was he was punishing the mayor. I mean, not he. Allegedly he. Because the mayor was not supporting him politically. You know, you got to remember now, this is Chris Christie getting ready to run for president of the United States. And what he needs to show coming from a blue state, that he as a Republican has both Democratic and Republican support. And if he wasn't going to get it, he was going to punish people. And he had a stick and a carrot. You know, the stick was, I'm going to cause massive traffic jams in this one town. The carrot was, hey, I've used a slush fund, the money that we got for Hurricane Sandy, and I'm going to spend it in places where I need political support. And we're going to spend that money that we got from shutting down that Hudson Tunnel project. We'll spend some of that money, too. And, of course, he larded up state government with his friends. Longtime fixer lawyer Sampson was the head of the Transit Authority, which is a bi-state agency, New York and New Jersey, because they share so much large infrastructure, bridges and tunnels. And the chairman in New Jersey was this guy Sampson, who just pled guilty, and I don't know if he's when he's going to jail. But for a bribery scheme that he had with, I think it was United Airlines, where apparently he had a home in South Carolina, a weekend home. But you know, the pain in the ass about a weekend home in South Carolina when you're in New Jersey, how do you get there? I know. You're chairman of the Transit Authority, who oversees the Port Authority, who oversees Newark Airport. You say to an airline, like, would really like a direct flight to South Carolina near my house. And they say, okay. So you got this like 3/4 empty flight that goes every Friday from New Jersey. And so he's going to go to jail for that. And so up until now, Chris Christie has denied direct involvement and knowledge of what shut down that bridge. And investigators had only found specific evidence on two people. One guy was Bridget Kelly, Christie's former deputy chief of staff. Another guy was Bill Baroni, a Port Authority executive under Sampson. They were indicted in May of last year, along with a guy named David Wildstein, who was friends with Chris Christie. David Wildstein pled guilty. He acknowledged that the lane closings were an act of vengeance against this mayor, Mark Skolich of Fort Lee. We don't know what kind of evidence he's turned in at this point. We don't know. So Barone and Kelly are going to trial in September. I think it's September 10th. Well, apparently, Barone's attorneys, who are trying to get a hold of Chris Christie's phone. Why would they think that there's something on Chris Christie's phone that would be important? I don't know. But what has come out today, and I think this is really problematic for him, was text messages between Christina Renna, this is Christie's former director of intergovernment affairs, and Peter Sheridan, a staffer on Christie's reelection campaign. And the exchange was while they were watching Chris Christie at a December 2013 press conference where Chris Christie is saying, I have no idea about this stuff. I was not contacted. I have absolutely no reason to believe that this is about political retribution, whatever it was. And Ms. Renna texts to Mr. Sheridan, are you listening? He just flat out lied about senior staff and Stepien not being involved.
Not good.
Not good. Not good.
He'll never have that kind of charm.
And then Sheridan says, I'm listening. And Sheridan, governor's doing fine, holding his own up there. Ms. Renna, yes, but he lied. And if emails are found with the subpoena or the CCFG, I think that's the Chris Christie for Governor reelection campaign, emails are uncovered in discovery. If it comes to that, it could be bad. And now, here's the problem. Renna erased her text messages. Renna also testified in front of a New Jersey legislative committee. But she testified that she had no knowledge about this stuff in 2014. She denied any knowledge. She did not reveal the text exchange. She did not allege that Christie was lying at the press conference. So there's a couple of things going on. Somehow Barone's defense team has these texts, because those are pretty specific. Those aren't paraphrases. And now Ms. Renna has what appears to be, and I don't know if it's perjury, if you, in the context of lying to the state legislator, but I got to think there's something that's going to be bad there for her. And she deleted her text, which appear to be evidence. And that's not going to be good for her.
Not good.
Not good.
Sad.
People delete texts all the time for memory purposes.
That's what I was Christmas. Oh, that may be the case. But it seems to be a pretty safe conclusion that she knew that was evidence.
Especially when you're talking about emails as evidence in the same text.
Well, right, but I mean, you would know that even if you deleted an email, nothing's ever gone.
I just wanted to see the data.
They're not gone.
Well, she deleted the text. Now, maybe she can argue in front of that federal investigator who's sitting in front of her, I did it to save memory. And that federal investigator will say, well, good, well, give me the phone. I'm going to see how much else you deleted on that day. to save memory. I think that she might get a little nervous.
Just everything. I just went through my photos. I just was like tired of this clutter, digital clutter.
I'm not saying the whole thing.
I was reading this Isabel Gillies column on how to feng shui your digital life.
I'm sure she's going to have an argument. What I'm saying is that I wouldn't want a federal investigator staring at me with this information. I think I'd be a little bit nervous. And so...
well, her biggest crime, working for Chris Christie.
That's true.
It appears.
That's a good point. But so I think this is quite clearly not over for Chris Christie. It's just beginning. September should be quite fun. Quite fun. And of course, Chris Christie says, there's nothing going on. There's nothing to see here. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm going to really enjoy it.
Go pick up some food, Chris.
The other day, Christie was on a four-hour sports radio program. He hosted it. Fan 660 AM. Gotta think he's hitting the bucket list right now.
Yeah.
All the things I want to do before I go to prison.
And how do we want him to be arrested? What was our vision?
I can't remember. What was it?
He flies back into Jersey after another embarrassing campaign stop with Trump.
Bruce Springsteen comes up.
I've been deputized.
Put your hands out.
That's how we want it to happen.
I would also love Bruce Springsteen to also be deputized to be the prosecutor.
So in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen of the jury... Before you stands a man who doesn't even have the integrity to deliver that Burger King order to Donald Trump
testified. I think Chris Christie should go to prison for 35 years.
I recommend the maximum sentence. Bon Jovi drives him.
That's right.
Just the complete.
Yep.
Every music idol that. Every artist. I mean, I guess Bon Jovi is the distant second to Bruce Springsteen. There's no one else like that for Chris Christie.
It would be great, though, if Little Steve, Little Steven drove him to the prison.
Can I just ask where...
Clarence never liked you.
Your deep, deep hatred for Chris Christie comes from, other than the obvious?
You know, look, deep, deep hatred is, I think, an overstatement. I just think that he's a horrible human being. He's a horrible human being who, because of his horribleness, was in favor
with Bridgegate?
No, my God, no. No, I mean, listen to, he's in the beginning of one of these shows. You only make it into the clips at the beginning of the show if I really detest you or really like you in those clips. So we have FDR. And we have Thomas Friedman and Rush Limbaugh.
Which one is Friedman?
Suck on this. Oh.
Thomas Friedman sounds like it's so gross too, because he sounds like he's eating in that clip. I don't know why.
He's not.
I know he's not. Wasn't he on Charlie Rose?
He was future eating his words.
He was future eating.
That's what he was doing. All right, let's turn to Donald Trump here, because this is just. You know, there seems to be this dynamic where, you know, they constrain Donald, they put him, have him read the teleprompter, and then the next day he can't help himself. He's got to, fling his own poo around. Now, I don't think this is quite a big deal, frankly, but apparently this guy Mateen, who was the father of the Orlando shooter, somehow ended up behind Hillary Clinton at a press stop or whatever it was. And in normal times, this becomes the kind of dumb pretend scandal that would dominate the news cycle for a day or two.
She was sending a signal to her supporters in the Muslim Brotherhood.
I mean, there's
no idea what this woman's up to.
It was obviously some staffer who had no idea who this guy was. And they always, all the staffers like to put as much diversity as they can behind the candidate. That's why when you see Trump speaking, you can actually see both women and men who are white and middle-aged behind him, not just men, because they're actively trying to take from their crowd to make it as diverse as possible behind the candidate. So that would have dominated were it not for Donald Trump saying this. And if you can see this visually, I want you to look over Donald Trump's left shoulder. There's an older woman there wearing a white shirt. And then next to her is an older gentleman wearing a red shirt. In fact, we'll play it twice. Play it once right now.
Hillary wants to raise taxes. It's a comparison. I want to lower them. Hillary wants to expand regulations, which she does bigly.
Pause it. Can we? There's another classic Donald Trump. He's looking at the document. He's like, Hillary wants to raise taxes. I want to lower them. Oh, it's a comparison. For those of you out there who are as who these words are as new to as me, Donald Trump is saying. And for those who may not get what I'm trying to set up here, it's a comparison.
Maybe he thought Trump University was a good offering.
Go back.
Hillary wants to raise taxes. It's a comparison. I want to lower them. Hillary wants to expand regulations, which she does bigly. Can you believe that?
Bigly?
I will reduce them very, very substantially.
Smally.
Could be as much as 70, 75%. Hillary wants to shut down energy production. I want to expand it.
Bigly.
Lower electric bills, folks. Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Okay, so if you notice, we'll get back to that. Let's play this again. Just that last part. Because if you notice that guy in the red shirt behind Trump, his jaw drops. Like, I can't believe he just said that. He turns to his wife, who apparently is not a very good person because she's just cackling at the idea of it. So here it is.
If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Now, I think there is an argument that, and it struck me when I watched it the first time, that Donald Trump is actually not referring to shooting Hillary Clinton. You know, the Second Amendment people, what makes someone a Second Amendment person? They like guns.
Bigly.
So they could do something about it. So I think, like, you know, we can be grown-ups here and recognize he's making, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt, he's making a joke. People who have guns could do something about it. And I think there is a legitimate argument that what he's saying is if Hillary Clinton becomes president, and then she appoints judges. They're there for a whole time. They don't think there's anything you can do about it unless you're someone who has a gun. And I think what he's saying is you could then shoot the Supreme Court justice. Assassinate them. It's a funny joke when you think about it, the way that he constructs it.
No one has timing anymore. What happened to timing?
And what is so amazing about this is that, A, we've never heard a presidential candidate even joke about assassinating a Supreme Court justice or another presidential candidate. What is also amazing about it is that apparently nobody in the press has been listening to the Republican Party for years. And are surprised that Donald Trump, of all people, would say this. They didn't hear it when Jesse Helms said it about President Clinton. You better not come down here to South Carolina and visit any bases. They didn't hear it when John Cornyn on the floor of the Senate said he understood why people were shooting, taking shots at federal judges. They didn't hear it when Trump's own campaign chair in New Hampshire said that she should be shot.
Oh, it's just an advisor, Sam. Be fair.
An advisor.
Come on. Be petty.
Somehow they ignore all of what we've heard from the Republican Party for years. And when Trump says, oh, my God. Now, that said, I'm glad that the press has reacted in horror. I'm glad that we get to see a bunch of Republican politicians who are elected who say, well, he could have been talking about unity. He could have been talking about all sorts of different things. In fact, let's hear from some people who are trying to pretend it's not really relevant. Let's first hear from the brave Paul Ryan, the thoughtful Paul Ryan, who, I mean, I don't know why this guy ever had any intellectual credibility, but I mean, are people really saying, I mean, like, is this, if you can have a portrait of courage, then you must be able to have a portrait of cowardice in terms of public service. Not running into a burning building or running out of a burning building. I'm just saying that in your capacity as, let's say, just, I don't know, Speaker of the House, let's say, what could you do that in that capacity show enormous amounts of cowardice? And again, I'm not talking about whether you jumped in front of a bullet or something like that. I'm just talking about in your capacity as a political leader, what could you do to show enormous cowardice? Oh, we have an example of that right now.
Mm-hmm. What is your reaction today to Donald Trump saying that maybe Second Amendment?
Yeah, I've been a little busy today. I heard about this Second Amendment quote. It sounds like just a joke gone bad. I hope he clears it up very quickly. You should never joke about something like that. I didn't actually hear the comments. I only heard about those comments.
In addition to Susan Collins, all are calling Donald Trump dangerous, too dangerous.
Look, I think it's very clear the Trump-Pence ticket is going to be one that will put good judges at the Supreme Court, and we will find far better receptivity of our agenda that we're trying to get on track to fix this country's problems than the Hillary Clinton administration. That much we know.
There you go. What a profile.
It seems like he really didn't hear it if he brought up Supreme Court judges in the second
really?
Sentence.
You believe that he didn't hear that?
Why?
That he was the only person in American politics who was not aware of that?
It
that
is his, possible. He literally has fingers jammed that, in his ears that, every time
that,
Trump
that, How much later was it that, it, that he was
it
doing
was
his press conference?
If it was 10 minutes later... If it was... If,
6 hours. Okay, never mind. Why would he bring up Supreme Court justices in
because,
the next sentence?
Kelly,
that's ridiculous.
He doesn't want to answer the question because he's being incredibly cowardly here.
You just don't bring up Supreme Court justices. You just... It's like what we were talking about the other day. Don't bring up the thing that went wrong.
No, it's too late. They're asking him about it. They're asking him about it.
Did the reporter bring up Supreme Court
justices? Yes, of course, because that was the context in which Donald Trump made those comments. So of course he heard it. The idea that he didn't hear this is laughable, and everybody knows it. It is unbelievably cowardly, period. That's it. I mean, there's no other explanation. He has a lot of staff who all have phones, all of which have access to YouTube.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. Honestly, the idea that he didn't hear that, it was is a joke.
I mean, it's just Paul Ryan's disgusting.
I mean,
it's also
ongoing.
It's his go-to.
Yeah, that's always
you're
the
Speaker of the House. You should pay attention to this sort of stuff.
I was really up on it, man.
I haven't followed the latest death threat that our candidate has issued.
Look, if you're asking me to keep track of every racist death threat, Constitution violating, potentially treasonous thing that Donald Trump did, I wouldn't have any time to focus on cutting kids' health care, which is really why I got into politics.
Trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt because he's not as ugly as the rest of them.
All right. Well, here you go.
It's the most sensible thing you said. Even at the alfalfa thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're aware of the Fox show The Five. But when you lose 3 out of the 5 and you are a Republican candidate, you know you've got a problem. Here is Greg Gutfeld pointing out that point, I guess, about that that guy behind Trump. Dana Perino and Geraldo all saying, like, probably not so appropriate to put this idea out there. I mean, remember, like when we talk about these supposed, these lone wolf ISIS attacks, right? The reason why we talk about them in the context of ISIS is because ISIS has been putting out messages suggesting they do this. Now, Donald Trump didn't create a whole website and say this is how you'd go about it, but the message was pretty clear.
I don't have the work ethic of ISIS.
It's Greg Gutfeld.
What happened, the response is behind Trump, which was pretty rich, because this is a Trump supporter, his kind of reaction.
That was Geraldo.
Yeah. If you notice, this is a guy who's dressed in red, make America great again, everything's good, everything's good, and then he hears that last part, and it's like, whoa! Even that's a bit much
but
for me.
You have to understand, this is a federal crime if he means what he said.
Oh, come
that's
on.
Why they said that it's not, it is.
If Donald Trump is suggesting that someone who is a gun person
remember, he said he could get,
is going
he could shoot
to
somebody.
Do something about Hillary Clinton, what, you know, I am telling you that this slip of the tongue or this joke, this is a joke like a mother joke. This is a lead balloon joke. This is a,
it's
this
a
is,
bad joke, this is but a it wasn't, really, there was really. No, there was no intent.
I agree.
It goes back to the
carelessness. But it is that kind of
careless.
It is so profoundly careless, it falls into the area of.
And imagine if somebody, imagine if she had said, or somebody had said that about Donald Trump, like carelessly say, oh, maybe someone will assassinate him. Mm. I mean, we would all be going crazy and say how inappropriate it was and making the point that Geraldo did, which is that's actually a crime.
Yeah. But. I mean, he's done this before, and then he has to explain himself, and he puts a lot of pressure on people who like him to have to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unfair to put pressure on people who like him to try and justify why they continue to like this moral monster. So unfair.
It's a drag.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things, you know, that was just, it's so difficult to hang in there with horrible people.
We were going to do 3 blocks on why kids using the bathrooms of their gender was disgusting. Then a thing implying that Hillary Clinton was a serial killer. Then something about the emails. And then we're going to have some woman in here to actually model outfits that we would later say were inappropriate. And you just ruined our entire block of programming.
Yeah, he puts a lot of pressure on us.
Implying that
we
should assassinate Hillary Clinton or Supreme Court justices.
Now,
come on, man.
Lest you think that there is no one out there who is so decrepit, so demented, so craven. I mean, what would it take? What type of human being could in any way justify this? It's hard to imagine. Oh, it's obviously Rudy Giuliani.
One of Donald Trump's top supporters, the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Mayor, thank you for
coming. Hi, George. How are you?
Today, you heard the speaker right there saying this is a joke gone bad. Apologize?
Well, first of all, I was there. And I'd like the people at home to kind of get an idea of what happened in the presidential campaign.
Pause it. Is there anybody who heard the audio or saw the video of Donald Trump who feels like, well, maybe if I was there, I'd have a better understanding of what went on. But let's hear Rudy Giuliani's deep insight to what really happened.
What he said is that they should vote against her. He never used any...
But he was talking about after the election.
He was talking about the election in general. He wasn't talking just about after the election. You know how speeches go. He was talking about how they have the power to keep her out of office. That's what he was talking about. That is what
generally, but specifically, he was saying this. He was talking about what he can't do anything after the election except the Second Amendment people.
We know Donald Trump is not particularly indirect. If Donald Trump was going to say something like that, he'd say something like that. I was there. I'd like the people at home to realize that the first time that any of us had any idea.
You see what really Giuliani's defense is? This guy was a prosecutor. I hope he came up with against defense that was a little bit turkier than this. Donald Trump, if he wanted to say assassinator, would just say assassinator. He wouldn't shroud it. Come on. That's not the Donald Trump we know. Good.
But that is the way it was interpreted, is when the Clinton spin machine interpreted it that way, spun it out to a press that is willing to hit him every day, bang, 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 and then ask us to question.
But in real time, you had people like the former CIA director, Michael Hayden, raising the exact same question.
It wasn't in real time. It was after the Clinton spin machine spun it out. They spun it out within about 8 minutes. Bam, like that. That is not what he intended. What he intended is very, very simple. What he intended was that they should vote against her.
I guess that's the question.
With a crowd like that, if that's what they thought he meant, they'd have gone wild.
Well, we did see that one guy behind
which brings me to the guy behind Hillary Clinton, who's the father of a person who killed 49 people, who wounded 53 people, ends up being invited to sit in a prime position behind Hillary Clinton. And you got to ask yourself, number one, who invited him? We still don't know. And number two, what drew him to Hillary Clinton?
Well, they're saying they didn't invite him and that she's disavowed any of his support.
Why is he such an avid supporter? What is drawing him to Hillary Clinton, holding a big sign up about what a great president she's going to be?
What's amazing is that Stephanopoulos did not stop Giuliani when Giuliani said, well, imagine if he actually did say that. The crowd would have gone crazy and nuts. And Stephanopoulos should have said, like, excuse me, don't you think that's a problem? I mean, Giuliani is saying, what is it about Hillary Clinton that this one guy shows up in supporting her? Just after saying, let's be honest, George, if Trump had called for her assassination, the crowd would have cheered and gone crazy. And Stephanopoulos doesn't think, like, hey, wait a second. Don't you think that's a problem? That Donald Trump is whipping up this level of hatred that if he called for the assassination of someone else, that they would be cheering?
Muslims.
Yeah, exactly.
Black people. It's obvious who invited the dad, though.
Oh, yeah. Huma.
Of course.
It's part of the whole Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
Sisi's probably somewhere in, stored away in Egypt.
Morsi is waiting for the Hillary election, and then there's going to be simultaneous terrorist attacks, and that's when Hillary will announce that we're nuking Tel Aviv.
So bigly.
And then Obama will return as chief caliph of the United States.
Totally bigly. All right.
It's a big league plan.
Let's go to this. This is sort of funny. Sort of. We saw a lot of op-eds written in the wake of Trump's joke about assassinating Hillary Clinton or a Supreme Court justice. I'll be generous. Dan Rather wrote on Facebook, no trying to be objective and fair journalist, no citizen who cares about the country and its future can ignore what Donald Trump said today. It's no longer about policy, civility, decency, or even temperament. It's a direct threat of violence against a political rival. Not just against the norms of American politics, it raises serious question as to whether it's against the law. And Joe Scarborough, he wrote something last night. The GOP must dump Trump. Now, I can't tell if this is a satire piece or not, because, of course, the time for that to happen would have been several weeks ago. The GOP cannot dump Trump. And he talks about the Muslim ban, the David Duke denial, the Mexican judge flap, the draft dodger denigrating John McCain's military service. And then lastly, the son of privilege attacking an immigrant Gold Star mother. The interesting thing about those five things he cites is four of them took place prior to the time that Joe Scarborough left the Donald Trump bus. But let's hear of a little fight that took place today on the set of Morning Joe. It's tough to hear.
You've said from the very beginning when he started blowing himself up, when Paul Ryan endorsed him, that it's only going to get worse. And it just keeps getting worse, doesn't it?
And when I say go home and spend time with your family, I mean look at your children in the eyes. Look at your wife in the eyes and really ask if you are doing the right thing, because you were doing the wrong thing by supporting this candidate. You were doing the wrong thing 10 times over. You're hurting this country for your political benefit, and you're making the wrong play even in terms of your political benefit. And I'm sorry that I'm a Democrat and it means nothing coming from me, but I'm telling you, that's how this story ends.
I screwed up the clip. I cut it too early. We missed the fight.
What happened?
Cuck. You totally cucked that.
Can you play it now? Oh, my God.
You made Sam a cuck, too.
Jeez.
Usually he does it on his own.
It's just been sabotaged.
It's just sad.
Who sent you? Donald Trump? Let's play this
Breitbart
thing.
Part.
Do you got it? He never makes mistakes.
I mean, look. I mean, I heard some people were saying that it was sad.
A lot of people were saying it was sad.
A lot of people were saying he didn't take his Adderall today, and that's why.
All right. Let me just, while Matt is working on that clip, let me just read you this.
Breaking. Matt makes one mistake since he's worked here. I think it's number two, actually.
Senator Joe Lieberman was former Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, of the Connecticut for Lieberman Party, I believe was his last party, was on Fox News, I guess. It's too bad we don't have sound on this. It's from a couple of days ago. And it actually took 4 days for this to reach me. I don't know why, because nobody cares about Joe Lieberman anymore. And this is what there's two things that I love about this. One, everybody who used to say Joe Lieberman's with us but for the war has to stick this in their craw. And the other is Joe Lieberman actually thinks that anybody gives the tiniest and most irrelevant of rat's ass. Like, take your typical rat's ass. Most people don't care about a rat's ass at all. They don't care about rats. And the ass is the last part of a rat that you would care about. Take that normal amount of caring that people have for that rat's ass, and then sort of make it a really unremarkable ass. Like, for a rat. And then diminish that amount of caring that that person has for that rat's ass, that particularly uncompelling rat's ass. And that's how little people care. But
except for
me, I'm the only person. I'm fixated on rat's asses.
Well, I was thinking of Joe Lieberman. Fair enough.
Here's what Joe Lieberman says. I've been spending a lot of time with a group called No Labels. I don't know what that means. John Huntsman and I, former Republican governor of Utah, are really trying to do something that may seem naive or idealistic. Let me just help Joe out here. I also find it craven and corrupt. But to sort of build the groundwork of people in both parties, who after the war is over, the war which is this campaign, will be prepared to try and build peace that will enable our government to get something done for the American people. And by getting something done for the American people, what he means is cut their Social Security, cut their Medicare, enrich the people I lobby for. All right, we got it? Okay, let's play it.
Halperin, everybody, just stop. He can't stop. This is proven again and again and again and again. He can't stop himself. He is a train wreck going 1,000 miles an hour. It is about the Republicans around him now. The story is about you. And I don't mean to have a nasty tone when I say to Paul Ryan, go home and spend some time with your family. Let me say this, okay?
Because it means nothing coming from you, okay? You're a Democrat.
Excuse me?
It means nothing coming from a Democrat to these Republicans.
Well, actually, the Democrats are going to win the election. So if you want to actually have a flying chance, you're going to have to do something that makes sense.
Let me say this to my Republican Party. You are letting Donald Trump destroy the party. And you've done it from the beginning. We've said from the very beginning when he started blowing himself up, when Paul Ryan endorsed him, that it's only going to get worse. And it just keeps getting worse, doesn't it?
And when I say go home and spend time with your family, I mean look at your children in the eyes. Look at your wife in the eyes and really ask if you are doing the right thing, because you were doing the wrong thing by supporting this candidate. You were doing the wrong thing 10 times over. You're hurting this country for your political benefit, and you're making the wrong play even in terms of your political benefit. And I'm sorry that I'm a Democrat and it means nothing coming from me, but I'm telling you that's how this story ends.
Don't get mad at me here. You're mad
at
me?
That's fine. A little bit, yeah.
I was making a point that they're just going to say, oh, you're a Democrat.
Okay, well, good. When I turn out to be right, like I have been every step of the way, you all can enjoy saying it means nothing coming from me. We end this block.
No. You're not going to do that. I was simply making the point that they're listening to you, and a lot of them might be saying, oh, she's just a Democrat. So I was going to say, as a Republican, I agree with your sentiment. Let me say it. I think you've made your point, and I think I've made my point.
Okay.
So I wasn't cutting you off. And I wasn't saying, I'm just saying a lot of Republicans out there would say, oh, she's a Democrat. So what does it mean? In fact, we've had people say that to your face. What do you expect? Michael Steele says that. What do you expect, Mika, for us to just go home?
I just can't believe where we're at right now.
Well, I can't either. So I agree with you. I mean, let's unite and not divide.
Not good.
I don't think I can take anymore.
Not good. Remember when Samantha Bee would do those dramatic reinterpretations of those shows?
It's really hard to watch. Can I just have a minute, please? You know what's amazing is that he states that we told them we got off the Trump train when Paul Ryan endorsed them. Yet in his Politico piece, Scarborough cites 4 out of 5 things that actually happened months before that moment. Months. So you've got Joe Scarborough up there saying, like, you know, how could you people do this? How could you do this? Writing, you've got to dump Trump. Any one of these offenses, he writes, would have disqualified any other candidate for president. The Muslim ban, the David Duke denial, the Mexican judge flap, the draft judge denigrating John McCain's military service. And he goes on. Now the Secret Service should interview Donald Trump and ask him to explain his threatening comments. Paul Ryan and every Republican leader should denounce him in the strongest term of the GOP nominee. Paul Ryan and every Republican leader should revoke their endorsement of Donald Trump. The Republican Party needs to start examining quickly their options for removing the Republican nominee. Well, I can help you with that. It's zero. How did we get to this point? How did the Republicans get stuck with someone like this? Who could have possibly not seen this coming and reached out to Donald and made it easier for Donald in some weird fashion? Who would that person have been? Is it one person? No, of course not. But certainly there were a lot of people responsible for it. Here's at least one or two people, right? I mean, who, I guess they're in the media, but you know, Scarborough's in the media too. So, I mean, if he's going to say this now, it's perfectly legitimate to look back in the media and say, who were Donald Trump's enablers? See if you recognize these voices.
I make a speech, get on a plane, make a speech.
Oh, pause it. I recognize that. That's Donald Trump. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I tell you what, the Bloomberg poll, all the polls out today look great in South Carolina. All of them.
Yeah.
They look good. Well, you know, see, so, but I'm being hit. You know, they're spending $75 million in negative ads on me over the last 2 weeks. Are they catching on at all?
No.
What do you think? Are they catching on?
No.
They're vicious.
That?
They're spending a tremendous amount on negative ads on me.
No. You know what I thought was the kind of wow moment was the guy you brought up on stage.
Yeah, that was great.
We played it several times this morning.
We played it up against Obama.
The both guys. The both guys.
Oh, it is. We played Obama first.
The young guy
was
the champ.
And then we played the guys.
I saw it. I watched your show this morning. You have me almost as a legendary figure. I like.
No, I tell you, this morning, what we basically said today was we were completely wrong about the
totally.
We have one more segment.
One more segment, and then we're good. Thank you for doing this.
Okay. I'm doing it because I
said
nothing. You know, you get great ratings and a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I did nothing.
We're getting a real window into your. So.
Well.
Just make us all look good. That's right.
Exactly.
So how come Drudge and
Pause
John Magazine?
Who the guy who said exactly want to make us all look good? I recognize that voice. I recognize that voice. This male-female duo. I'm trying to think of it. Is it Sam and Diane from Cheers? No, they don't have a show anymore. That wouldn't be it. I'm trying to think who. I keep playing it. Maybe I can pick it up.
You said I won the debate, Joe, and you think it's...
Well, but so did the CBS poll. The next morning when I saw the CBS poll,
for that second, but they...
Yeah,
have.
But still, I knew that... The people that mattered didn't think you lost it. You came in a strong second. And I'll tell you what was the most revealing thing is Bush came in last.
Yeah, he came in last.
The guy you fought
weak.
Came in last.
He's a weak person.
And at that point, I said to Mika, we don't know what... You
he's
know,
a weak person.
Said so.
He's a weak person.
Oh, okay. Do you don't want me to do the ones with deportation?
We really have to get to some questions.
That's right. Nothing too hard, Mika.
That's right. We really have to edit some questions. You know what? At one point, Trump called the guy Joe. Strange. Really weird.
I guess this was previous to gazing in your children's eyes.
Well, it was sometime after the Muslim ban, the David Duke denial, the Mexican judge flap. Wait, was it after?
No, it was before the Mexican judge flap, but certainly not before the Mexicans are rapists, how he launched
right?
his campaign.
The draft dodging, denigrating John McCain.
After
that happened way after that.
That's correct.
All right, so
I guess
three
it's just
out of five.
It's a critical mass of inexcusable things.
Right.
That's what it is. Three inexcusable things you have on him on your
well,
show.
Well, actually, to be fair... He said any one of these offenses would have disqualified any other candidate for president. But but the thing is that I guess if you put it in the passive tone, like as if there was a disqualification committee that would come down from a high up and say, you're disqualified. But I guess if you have a friendly media who is willing to bring you on and not, you know, maybe edit questions that might go directly to certain things.
So in the sense you're saying quite literally any other candidate, but not you.
Exactly.
You've been good for ratings.
Yeah, we're making us all look good.
I just need to add parenthetically, even in tape not focus of Jeb is cuck. Give mama a massage. Did you see that? Trump is so on his message discipline during the primary that he's, you know, even in that hot mic, he's all over the place. The polls are great. We're going to sound great. Oh, Jeb, weak.
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 Well,
weak.
I think he actually weak. Believes that. I think he actually hated
he
Jeb Bush. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've gone way long. This was supposed to be a short one. We're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. Hey, remember, it is your membership that makes this show possible. Day in, day out. Try and give you new content in a week and a half. We're going on vacation. You won't even notice it. It's going to be great. Believe me. Bigly. We got
but,
we're already
but
doing
like actually
pre-tape
you can
bigly.
Believe him.
Bigley. We you won't even notice it. We're going to be doing all new interviews, and
they're going to be so progressive.
So progressive.
It's so.
They're going to be so progressive. You're going to be sick of
being
progressive.
You're going to be just disgusted at our critique of the criminal justice system. Okay, folks.
Right. You're going to hear so much about the critique. You're going to be sick of critique.
And people say Angela Davis knows about it. She doesn't know anything.
We need your support. Become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.co-op, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. And MajorityReportKickback.com. All right. See you in the fun half.